Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I wanted to read to you from a very familiar psalm. It's a favorite for many, Psalm 46. And notice when you talk about the book of Psalms, it's plural. When you talk about a psalm, that is singular. So it's not Psalms 46. It would be Psalm 46, just a minor thing. It's kind of like one of those revelations thing. It's the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not plural. It's singular. Anyway, I'll move on. Debbie is across the table from me today, and she's always a crowd favorite when she shows up, and she was giving me the sign, like, move on.
Yeah, the grammar Nazi is here.
Yeah. So Psalm 46, a psalm of the sons of Korah, and it's a song, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, Selah, which means to pause. And so, hey, if everything falls apart, we don't have to fear. Why? Because God is our refuge. He's our safe place. He's our strength, and he helps us. He's very present, abundantly available for help when we're in trouble. And then it goes on to say this, cease striving, be still, let go, relax, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. We want to focus in today on how to be still, how to wait on the Lord, how to let go and relax and know that God is God and know that God is in control and know that God is going to see you through the worst of situations because he is our refuge and strength. He does care about us, and we can cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. And so, Debbie, you ran across an article yesterday.
Yes.
That speaks to this.
Well, and I think in our current world situation, as well as just in the United States right now with the political back and forth that is going on,
that's your favorite thing.
Oh, my goodness. I hate it so much. Like I told you last night, he was coming into the bedroom with his iPad and he was listening to the Democratic National
Convention. I was listening to Joe Biden.
And I was like,
Monday night,
you're
going
to have to get ear pods. I cannot possibly listen to that and lay down my head to have peaceful slumber. It's just impossible because it just makes me absolutely crazy. But in the culture and environment in which we live, it's very easy to get ourselves worked up and to get anxious and to feel rushed and to feel stressed and to just be a bundle of nerves and anxieties and worries and cares and concerns. All those things are because there's just, we have a plethora of them to choose from, mm-hmm. right? And so I think now more than ever, it is so important for us to go to the Lord and seek refuge in him and to be still before him. And it's in his presence and it's in that stillness that he does give us that peace that passes understanding, that in circumstances that it doesn't make any sense that we would have a calmness in our soul, he provides that. And so I think it's important for us now in this season to make sure that we're doing that. And
you know, it's almost like I was thinking when you were just talking about how people have so many fears, it's almost like we create them. So all this climate change stuff that mm-hmm. people, they're so afraid. There was some study done that said, you know, young people have this fear that the earth is going to end because of climate change. And it's like, that's like fearing that the boogeyman's going to come to your house, you know, tonight at 2 a.m. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, and now this monkeypox stuff there, you know, I think, isn't it interesting that that's trying to rear its ugly head right before an election?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I saw a meme the other day that said the real fear is not monkeypox, it's donkeypox.
It's destroying it. And then, I mean, let's just face it, we live in a fallen world, and there are irrational fears that we can have, but there are also rational fears that we can mm-hmm. have, things that truly are things to be concerned about that have crossed our past. Maybe we have a health issue, or we have a relationship issue. I mean, those things are very real, and they do cause us to be anxious and to be worried and to be concerned. And that's our signal that we are not being still, and we're not giving that over to the Lord, because he promises to know that he is God when we are being still before him. And when we know that he is God, we know that he's sovereign. We know that he has things under control. We know he's the same yesterday, today, forever, that he's trustworthy, that he's full of mercy, that he's full of grace, that he's loving, that he forgives. We know all these things about God. And when we focus in on those things, that's when that stillness and that peace can enter into our situations and guard our minds and guard our hearts.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking, I always kind of go back to this. When the kids were little and they would get afraid, they'd have a bad dream or something like that, and they would come, you know, the kids learned early on, if you're afraid, you go to dad's side of the bed. If you're sick, you go to mom's side of the bed. And you're a lot better with sickness. You weren't as tender when they were just afraid, but I was very tender with them when they were afraid. And when they would, you know, I'd just always just open up the cover, so get in bed with me, put my arms around them, and they would just immediately relax because they knew, okay, I'm safe here. And that's, you know, that's what the Lord's telling us. Be still, cease striving, relax, let go, and know that I am God, and I will protect you, because, back to verse 1, I am your refuge and strength. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And you're not going to be attacked in the stronghold. You're not going to be, you know, overcome in the stronghold. And the Lord, nothing can get to you when you're safe in the arms of the Lord. Now, he lets things in. He lets down the hedge. Life is filled with, you know, as Job said, man who's born of woman is short-lived and full of trouble. But it's always for a purpose, and he's always in control of that. And at any moment, he can stop it. And, you know, it has a purpose. It has a refining purpose. As it says in the book of Malachi, you know, the Lord sits as a smelter of silver, and he controls the heat. He's getting the dross out, and he doesn't leave you in there in the fire any longer than you need to be.
Well, I was just reading this morning in my quiet time in a new book that I started, and it was talking about the fact that we are going to be yoked to something. And we really ultimately have two choices on what we're going to be yoked to. We're either going to be yoked to ourself and our flesh, our pride. We're going to do things the way we want to do it. We know
our desires.
We know best, et cetera, et cetera. Or we're going to surrender, and we're going to be yoked to the Lord. But to think that we're going to go through life unyoked is a falsehood, because we are going to be yoked to something.
Right.
And so they were talking about the verse in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, which says, "Come to me, all who are labored, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you that stillness, that peace in your soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so as we go through this life, we have to make a very distinct choice on what we're going to allow ourselves to be yoked to. What's going to guide us? What's going to keep us rowing in a straight row? And the Lord promises that when we yoke ourselves to Him, it's not that we're not going to have any burdens at all. It's that the burden's going to be a lot lighter, that He's going to be there with us, and it's going to be a whole lot easier when we do things God's way and when we surrender to Him. And I think that surrender and that putting His yoke upon us, that happens in the stillness. When we come before Him and we recognize, hey, You are God and I am not. I've been trying to yoke myself and lead myself and do things my way, and this is just absolutely not working out for me.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to take off my yoke of self and pride and self-reliance and independence and all these other things, and I'm going to put Your yoke on me, because You promise that if I allow You to lead and guide me, even though everything in life isn't going to be perfect because we live in a fallen world, it's going to be much lighter and it's going to be much, much easier.
Well, it's the difference, the Galatians 5, the fruit of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You and I can't produce that. Only the Lord can produce that. And Jesus said in John 15, a similar vein, He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't produce the fruit of the Spirit. Only God can do that, and He wants to do that through us. But the way that happens is when you do exactly what you said, Debbie. You have to take His yoke upon you. And, you know, when you see two oxen that are yoked together, you're in that apparatus that hooks you together. And that's how the Lord wants us to live with Him, to abide as a branch abides in the vine. You know, when you buy grapes at the grocery store, you see the branch, you know, you have a little tree of grapes. That's worthless. That stuff is good for nothing. You can't build with it. You can't do anything with it. It only has usefulness when it's connected to the vine, because then the life of the vine flows through it and it produces fruit.
Well, another interesting use of that word be still that the author of this article that I found talked about was in Exodus 14, when the Israelites were being chased by the Egyptians and they were standing at the bank of the Red Sea, and the Red Sea's in front of them. The Egyptian soldiers are chasing after them from the rear, and they're just kind of caught like, okay, If God doesn't do something...
Between a rock and a hard place.
Truly. If God doesn't do something, if He doesn't do it radically, and if He doesn't do it quickly, we are doomed, right?
Yeah.
And so Moses says to them in Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. And that word, the Hebrew word for still there, means to be quiet or silent, to become deaf, to make no move, or to freeze. And I think that's such a significant definition of that word, because so often we're just so frazzled and running about in so many different directions that we don't take time to just not move, to become deaf to all the things that are going on around us, all the need of the urgent and all of those other things, to become deaf to that and to just really sit in God's presence and allow Him to minister to us. And I know for me personally, just a very simple thing that I have done several times, and I'm currently in the process of doing it right now, I've just stopped wearing a watch. You know, I have an iPhone, an Apple Watch, and like every text that comes through, beep, your phone is, you know, your watch is dinging or it's flashing or whatever it is. And I would just find myself always feeling rushed and hurried and like, oh, I've got to get this done. I've got to get this done. I've got to get this done. I have this. So I thought, you know what? I'm taking off this watch. Mm-hmm. And so I just quit wearing a watch, and I still have my phone so I can look and see what time it is. But just I'm not having a constant tug on my mind and heart to distract me constantly.
I'm going to buy you a sundial for Christmas.
There you go.
So you can know what time it is.
That's perfect.
One of the versions I read, Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you while you stay calm. So while you keep silent, while you be still, we can be calm in the Lord. You know, it's the Martha of Mary thing. You know, Mary was worried and bothered about so many things. And the Lord says, no, I don't want you to live like that. You can sit at my feet. You can listen to my word. You can trust me. Doesn't mean you're idle, but you have to have that quiet time, that downtime, that abiding time with the Lord so that his power can flow through you. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. And we're talking about being still. Cease striving, let go, relax, and know that he is God.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Well, welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about being still. How can you be still before the Lord and cease striving and relax and calm down and just know that he is God? Know that he is in control. There are things that we have to do. I mean, he doesn't, you know, the old phrase is so true. God will not do what you can do. And you cannot do what he can do. So when the Lord told Moses, as Debbie had relayed the story, so Exodus 14, the Pharaoh and his army coming behind him, the Red Sea in front of them, there's nowhere to go. Stand by and see, be still and see, and the Lord will fight for you. He'll fight for you as you keep silent. But he had to go forward. And so, you know, he just didn't stand there. God didn't just pick them up and carry them across the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea, something that they couldn't do, but they had to walk across the Red Sea. And so those things that the Lord asks us to do, you know, I always think of Lazarus when the Lord raised him from the dead. He told Martha, roll away the stone. And, you know, Martha didn't want to do it. Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. He stinks. Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God, roll away the stone? Now, Jesus wasn't going to do that because they could do it. So God will not do what you can do, and you cannot do what he can do. And the Lord, he responds to our faith. When we take a step of faith, and then we find out that God is true to his promises. So how did Peter walk on water? He had to get out of the boat. He had to take a step of faith. And when he did, boom, he could get out of the boat, but he couldn't walk on the water. The Lord enabled him to do that. And so, Debbie, when we think about this article that you printed up from Jessica Brody on Crosswalk, 10 Healthy Habits to Help You Live Out and Be Still in Psalm 46, what are some of the practical things that we can do?
Well, I think the first one that she talks about, and I believe that it is paramount as well, is that we need to just have a scheduled time each day that we have a quiet time before the Lord. And, you know, that term quiet time is very Christianese, right? I mean, like if you have not grown up in Christian circles, you would be like, what on earth is that?
Right.
But basically, it's just having a designated time where you are ridding yourself of other distractions and you're focused in on God's word, spending time in prayer, talking to him and giving him the quietness to be able to speak back to you.
Right.
So there's the stillness element there that enables you to be able to hear that still small voice when he speaks to you. And so, you know, I think for most people, the best time to do that is to be disciplined to do that first thing in the morning so that you can start your day off that way to give him. I read one article from someone that talked about the fact that that time, that quiet time that you spend with the Lord, that's like a tithe of your time. You know, like we're told in the Bible that we are to tithe the first 10% of our incomes, of, you know, and they in the Old Testament, the first of their crops, all those those things. And so the first part of our day, to give that first part of our day to the Lord as an offering to Him, as a tithe to Him, and allow Him to fill us with His Spirit, so that as we go throughout the day, I mean, we are going to leak. I mean, He's, you know, and so if we start the day off in a deficit, man, it's rough. And so that does take intentionality and it takes discipline. And, you know, for every single person, is that absolutely the only time that's the right time of day to have a quiet time? Well, no. But for most people, to start your day off that way is a good way to start your day. Mm-hmm. For me personally, the moment I am prone, I'm kind of going to be out. And so for me to think that I can have a quality time with the Lord at night before I go to bed, that's just not going to work for me. I know myself well enough to know that's not going to work for me. But that's not true of everyone.
Well, I think that even if you're not a morning person, if you can discipline yourself for the morning, because, you know, part of the model prayer that's called the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, give us this day our daily bread. As we pray for daily needs, you know, it's hard to pray that at the end of the day, Lord, give me my daily bread. The day is over. So it's better in the morning. There's a poem by Ralph Spalding Cushman. And I remember hearing this when I was in college. Adrian Rogers shared this poem. It is really good. And he was making the point that try and have your time with the Lord in the morning. And it says this: I met God in the morning when my day was at its best, and His presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered. All day long He stayed with me, and we sailed in perfect calmness or a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mine, when I too had moorings with the presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must seek Him in the morning if you want Him through the day.
Oh, that's good.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Yeah. So try and discipline yourself. And listen, you know, you talk about a tithe of the day. Well, I mean, it's 24 hours in the day. We're not talking about having a 2.4-hour quiet time. Most people don't do that. But you give God the first part of that day. And even if it's just 10 or 15 minutes, let's face it, for a lot of people, I tell people this often, you know, if you spend 5 minutes a day in the Word of God, for a lot of people, that's 5 minutes more than they're doing now.
Right.
So you got to start somewhere. And so start somewhere and say, I'm going to get up 15 minutes earlier than I normally do, and I'm going to spend that time with the Lord. Now, you may be one of those who gets up 15 minutes earlier, and the first thing you do is get in the shower, because that kind of invigorates you. And then, you know, you want to be awake when you have your time with the Lord. You don't want to be so groggy that it doesn't really matter. And when you talk about reading the Word of God, I always tell people this: read for depth, not for distance. Lots of times, you know, if you read 5 chapters and can't remember anything, it would be better to read slowly and just read 5 verses or 15 verses or something, where you really meditate on it, you're thinking about it, you're interacting with it. You know, read the Bible through. Debbie, you're great at reading the Bible through, and you have a capacity for that. That's not good for me, because it's too much at one time, and my mind can't process all that. And so, you know, you just find your sweet spot. Everybody's different, so find the sweet spot for you. But to spend that time with the Lord, it's important.
You know, we were just having this discussion at our last Bible study at the office, and we were talking about one of the questions that was posed was this: okay, for those people who are just very disciplined by nature, this comes fairly naturally to have a designated, disciplined quiet time, okay,
and with a designated place. Good to have a place.
Yes. Okay. So, but that comes pretty easy for the person who, just by their God-given bent, is just fairly disciplined in their person. It's harder for those that are not, by their God-given bent, leaning towards being very disciplined. Right. And so we talked about, okay, what kind of strategies can you have if you're one of those people who you desire so much to be disciplined, but you just find yourself failing over and over and over again, not being disciplined. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think it's this, don't give up. Right. You know, just because you have not been able to discipline yourself for 2 or 3 days in a row to not have a quiet time first thing in the morning, you don't just throw in the towel.
Right.
You say, okay, well, let me readjust. And instead of having this grandiose plan of spending 30 minutes with the Lord, let me shrink that down to 10 minutes and see if I can be more consistent this week with that. And so you don't allow... you don't allow your failure of missing a day to just completely defeat you and say, okay, well, just forget it. I can't do this. I'm just not going to do this anymore.
Right.
So you have to just keep doing the next right thing and just say, okay, I missed that today. I'm going to regroup and I'm going to start again tomorrow.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing too, so let's say you have this commitment that you've made to yourself and to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to get up 15 minutes earlier or 30 minutes earlier than I need to and have that quiet time, and I'm going to do it. And then the second day out of the shoot, you oversleep. Your alarm doesn't go off or whatever. And then you're scrambling to try and get out the door to get to work. Well, okay, just say, I'm going to take a coffee break, or I'm going to take a lunch break, and then I'm going to spend my time with the Lord. So you can make that up. And if you have to make it up on the back end, that's okay. Mm-hmm. But try and have a daily time with God where you pray, you get alone with Him. And I think, Debbie, a struggle for me, and I think for a lot of people, is, as you said, things dinging, things buzzing, the electronics calling your name and pulling you away, and I have this email that I have to respond to. Somebody just texted me. It's kind of the tyranny of the urgent, but we need to turn all that off so we can say, God, I'm having a meeting with You. And nothing is more important than this. And I can get to those other things when we're done.
Yeah, so that whole meditating on God's word, you can't meditate on God's word in chaos.
Right.
You need the stillness. And you know, that whole word meditate has gotten such a bad rap because we often, when we hear the word meditate, we often think of Eastern practices where you're emptying your mind. Uh-huh. And you know, all of that. And that's not what biblical meditation looks like. Biblical meditation is that you take away distractions and you take a verse of scripture, you take a word that the Lord has given you, and you think on it. So your mind is not empty. You're thinking on God's word and dwelling on God's word. And I know for me personally, one of the ways that I love to do that is when I'm out in nature. I just find that to really
go on walks and
to go on a walk, or even to just stand at our back door and look out in our backyard. I love our backyard so much. To look out in our backyard and see all the different birds that are eating at my bird feeders, and just I find that I can really connect with the Lord through nature, because you know the Bible tells us very clearly that nature worships God. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're going to be silent, the very rocks are going to cry out. And so all of nature attests to the fact that there is a God.
Yeah.
And that nature worships Him. And so being in nature can really stimulate that.
Well, Charles Lowry, who's a good friend, psychologist and pastor, he told me one time, he said he thinks it's good for pastors to play golf. He said, here's why. It gets you with people. You know, typically you play with other people, and it gets you outside. He said, pastors have a tendency to stay inside. You're always in your study, you know, you're writing, you're reading, you're studying, you're putting sermons together, all that stuff. And so it gets you out in nature. And so there is something about that. You know, Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse shows forth His handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. And so I think whether it's in the morning or whether it's at night, I remember at the University of Texas, when I would walk from the library back to my dorm, and you just look up at the stars, I can remember being in Colorado, and the stars, they just seemed so close you could touch them. There's something really majestic and powerful about that when you consider, you know, God's heavens and his handiwork and all these stars that are so many, you know, millions of miles away and all that stuff.
Well, and even the simple things, like, you know, you're on a walk and in the middle of the concrete of the street or the sidewalk that you're on, a flower's growing in the middle of it. Like there's apparent, you know, there visibly there's no dirt, there's nothing there that could support or substantiate the growth of something beautiful like that, but there it is. So if you're out in nature and you're purposely with intentionality looking to see God and his handiwork, you are going to see it. You know, and I've always read that people are either one of two things. They're either mountain people or beach people. Uh-huh. And so for me personally, although I love the vastness of the ocean, where it appears to, where
person.
It just tends to be, you know, you look at it and you're like, wow, this is just ginormous. This is unending. You know, it ebbs, it flows, it does, there's all this life within it, all those things. That does not speak to me in terms of the majesty of the Lord like the mountains do. When I am in the mountains, it's like, wow. Uh-huh. You know, who on earth could think this happened, you know, by goo forming over millions of years? Mm-hmm. You know, this was a very intentional creation in its majesty and mm-hmm. its beauty and its lushness, and that really speaks to me a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, seeing the ocean, as you said, the ocean is so vast, you know, and I use the illustration, you know, we have a teacup for a mind and God's the Pacific Ocean in his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So there are lots of things that we can't fathom. And when we ask the Lord about it, he's like, you wouldn't understand this if I explained it to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like explaining nuclear physics to my three-year-old grandson, Jack, mm-hmm. or our three-year-old grandson, Jack. He's not going to mm-hmm. get it. So just trusting God is the way to go. Well, we're talking about how to be still and know that he is God, how to just rest in him, to let go and relax and know that God is God and know that God is in control. That doesn't mean we don't pray. That doesn't mean we don't work. But it does mean that we don't fear and we don't worry and we don't fret. We trust him. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. When we come back from the break, we're going to be opening the phone lines 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony about going from Martha to Mary and learning to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to his word and experience that peace that passes understanding, we'd love to hear about it. So give us a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with my wife, Debbie. We've been talking about Psalm 46, such an important psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Hey, are you fearful today? Well, let me just encourage you with verse 10 of that psalm. Be still, cease striving, let go, relax, and know that God is God, as the Lord says, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. He hasn't left us. Jesus said, hey, I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And he's given us his Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And he's with us forever. As Jesus said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. He will fight our battles as we trust him. But as Debbie said earlier, you have to abide in him. You have to stay connected to him. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, Jesus said, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you shall have rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. And so we have to come to him and we have to yield to him. That is critical. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. I say it so many times, and then in the middle, sometimes I have that senior moment. Mm-hmm. And 888-589-8840. Love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, as we said, of a time where you were really fearing and stressing and worrying, and then all of a sudden you said, hey, I'm going to quit being a Martha, worried and bothered about so many things. I'm going to sit at his feet, and I'm going to listen to his word, and I'm going to trust him and how God really does give a peace that passes understanding. So we have Tyra on the line from Texas. Tyra, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. You are my second pastor. Thank you so much. I love your preaching. I wish I lived in Texarkana.
Yeah, we do too. Go ahead.
I wanted to just share that actually it was about 8 years ago, no, 10 probably, I was faced with a diagnosis of cancer, breast cancer. And as I was driving home from a friend's house I'd been visiting, I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? I spend time in the Word myself each day because I can't. That's my spiritual nourishment. I eat, so I need to eat spiritually too. But he said, remember how it feels when you're floating in the pool, mm-hmm. and you just let the water hold you up. And if it kind of tilts you to one side, well, that's okay. You're still held up. Or, you know, as I said, so if I live, that's great. And if your plan for me is to go home, that's great too. So it sure made life a lot easier in these latter years of my life to know that regardless, he's there. He's going to hold me up. No matter what his plan, it's going to be for my best. Amen. And it hasn't always been easy. But yeah, that's my philosophy now.
Yeah, that is so good, Tyra. So years ago, I heard a sermon. It was from Philippians chapter 1, where Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And yes. The preacher called the sermon, heads I win, tails I win. They may, you know, whether I live or whether I die, I win. Because if I live, God will use me on this earth. If I die, he takes me to heaven. So for a Christian, it is good either way.
It's a win-win situation always, yeah. Every day.
Amen. Amen. Good word, Tyra. Thank you for calling in today, and thanks for listening to the program. Well, we have Paige on the line from Texas. Hi, Paige.
Hi, Pastor Jeff. I just wanted to remind you, in January of 21, my husband and I attended a membership class at FBC. Uh-huh. And at this time, I was a stay-at-home mom to a 3.5-year-old and an 8-month-old. And I know Miss Debbie can sympathize with that.
Yeah, definitely.
But you taught us this prayer, the PACE prayer. Uh-huh. And I wrote it down. I told everybody I knew. I said it every morning. And that really helped me. Like, my whole demeanor changed. I was so patient. My husband would come home and be like, where's my wife and what did you do with her?
Yeah. Well, tell the listeners what the PACE prayer is, Paige.
Okay, so the PACE is like an acrostic. The P stands for praise. So first of all, you give all praise to God for who he is. The A is for acceptance, where you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and everything that he has in store for you. And the C is control, so you give up your control to God, allow him to come into your life and control your day. And the E is expect. And after you've praised the Lord and accepted Jesus Christ and gave up your control, you expect to have a great day.
Yeah, amen. Well, I'm glad that ministered to you. Yeah, I heard that at a conference. Adrian Rogers said he does that every day.
He did.
Well, he's at the conference, he said he did it every day. So, yeah, he's in heaven now. But yeah, the A, you accept the fact that God accepts you. Because you accepted Jesus, God accepts you. We're accepted in the beloved. And you don't have to live as a second-class Christian. You know, you're blessed and highly favored. So you receive all that. And then the C is, Lord, today I'm yielding my life anew and afresh to you, not to be saved again, but to just re-enlist, so to speak. So every day you re-enlist and say, Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. I want you to be glorified in me. And then that E, just to know, yeah, today is going to be a great day. That's so cool. Well, Paige, thank you so much for calling in with that. And you're a sweetheart. I hope you're going well with you and your family. And I hope to see you soon. All right. I appreciate that. We have Marco on the line from Texas. Marco, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. I was listening to what you're all saying this morning about seeking the Lord every day, about looking at the mountains, the sea, or whatever God connects you with. And something that helps me, I wanted to share, is accountability. So what I try to find is five other guys in my walk for the month and pick one, say, okay, friend number one, there's 30 to 31 days in every month except February. Whatever the calendar day falls on, I want you to text me that date. And that's a chapter I will read in Proverbs. Mm-hmm. So my friend will keep me accountable. Another friend, I will just simply take 30 seconds of my day and pray with them. Another friend will just talk about the temple of the Holy Spirit, the body, just what are you doing to be healthy. The fourth guy will memorize a Bible verse. And the last guy, which was the most interesting thing of all, was picking the guy who is really into the Word, who really prays a lot, and when I speak to him, not even mention God, just fellowship, just talk, just learn to be social, learn to connect with people. And that's helped me a lot, and it's been very surprising to me, the people that God has put in my life that I would not expect would be reading the Bible all the time, and they say, Marco, did you read Proverbs 21 today? Did you read 22? So what I need as a man, I need accountability. And if I forget a day or two, we just jump back on whatever day we were on.
Yeah. That's really good, Marco. I like the way you do that. And yeah, just what you said at the end. So if you miss, you don't just quit. You just pick it back up. It's like, okay, well, you know, as it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we make this commitment to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to seek you every day. And then 2 days later we miss, and then we beat ourselves up and say, I can never do this. No, just get back on the horse, so to speak. And
well, I think about that with young moms. Like, you can have the best of intentions and you can get up early and you're going to enjoy just some quiet time before the kids get up, and the second you're up, they're up, you know? As a young mom, I can remember having a desire to have a very disciplined, quiet time. And I found it so frustrating that just life happened pretty regularly that would keep me from that. And so for the real disciplined person like myself, having to kind of roll with the flow can be quite challenging.
Right.
But I had to learn how to do that during that season of my life.
Right.
And so we definitely can have seasons of life where it's like, okay, my normal is now not so normal, but I'm not going to just give up and throw in the towel. I'm going to continue to find a way to have some time with the Lord.
Right. I think for a lot of moms with little kids, I mean, your only time alone might be in the bathroom,
right?
You know, and even at that, they're banging at the door.
They're banging on the door. That's right.
They want to see what mom's doing. So thank you, Marco. I appreciate you calling in. That's a good word, my friend. God bless you. We have Roy on the line from New Hampshire. Roy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, hello. Good morning, Pastor Jeff and Sister Debbie. How you doing? I just thank God for the topic you guys are talking about. You know, in those quiet times, you get a chance to come to the Father's table and just partake of the food that He has there for you for that day. And I had an opportunity to go on a D.C. fishing trip back in 2016, 80 miles off the coast of Virginia. Never been out that far, the ocean, in all my life. And I was nervous because I've never been out there. It was an experience. I enjoyed it. But I was, oh, God, and don't let a storm come up or, it would, you know, and I got heard stories about swells and the boat pitching and, you know, in a 35-foot boat. And, you know, it was an overnight trip, and I saw the sunrise up in the east, and it sets in the west. And I said, God, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. And then I just felt the presence of God come over me to relax, enjoy it. And I wasn't fearful anymore that whole time.
Amen. And you didn't get seasick.
No, I didn't get seasick.
Yeah. Hey, Roy, let me ask you a question. So you're in New Hampshire, correct?
Correct.
Okay, spiritually, I've never been to New Hampshire. I've heard that it's pretty dark there spiritually. What's your experience like living there?
Here's my experience. There is revival breaking out here.
Good.
We don't have enough pastors that are willing to stand for our nation. The church that me and my wife attend, we're not members, but we attend it because the pastor stood in the face of opposition because of COVID, and he kept his church open. And that's the issue I'm finding, is that there aren't enough strong pastors in the Word, because there's a hunger here for the Word. There's a hunger for revival, and it's coming because we're praying for it. We're praying for it continually here. There are a lot of strong believers here. It's just that, in relation to the population that's up here in New England, there are not enough of us. I was in Connecticut. I worked in Connecticut, and I was surprised that there's revival breaking out in Connecticut. There's revival breaking out in Boston. It's just that all you hear is the other part,
right?
How arrogant and how people here are so, you know, education minded, and they don't have time for this. They don't have time. But it's a lot of people that are crying out here for revival, and we're praying. The guys I'm with, the men that I worship with, and some of the other prayer groups that I'm a part of, we're praying for revival to break out in a large way here in New England. And it's going to happen. We believe it. We see evidence, you know, little pockets of it. So,
yeah, that's a good word for sure. We need to be praying that, just continue to pray that the Lord brings a revival. You know, I was talking to Tom Askell on Friday, and we were talking about the election, because there's, you know, as we say every time, it's the most important election in our lifetime, but it is true. I mean, it just keeps building. Every 4 years, it keeps building. And I would hate to see America freely and fairly choosing two people that are going to move us to socialism, on the fast, we put us in the fast lane to socialism. It would be devastating. But if that does happen, we just cry out to the Lord for revival, and God can use that. You know, it's in the bad times where Christians start getting serious about their relationship with the Lord. We do well in adversity. We don't do well in prosperity in the Christian life. And so who knows how God is going to use that. But I believe, along with you, Roy, that the Lord wants to send revival before the coming of Jesus and before the rapture of the church. And so we pray for that. And so I appreciate you calling in, my friend. And thank you for giving that update about New Hampshire and Connecticut. Well, I appreciate you guys listening. We're down to our last minute, and I appreciate you guys listening to Real Truth for Today. It's always a joy when Debbie comes on the program. I hear from more people say, oh, I like your program, and I love it when Debbie comes on.
Oh, dear.
And so they tolerate me, but they love you, Debbie.
Oh, no. That's enough.
So, well, go out today, and if you haven't spent time with the Lord today, do it. And take that 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is, take your lunch break and spend time with the Lord. He wants to spend time with you. The God of the universe knows about you. He is El Roi, the God who sees me, as Hagar said. He knows about your life. He cares about your life. He wants to do great and mighty things in you and through you so that you would be His faithful witness until Christ returns. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.